invaded.
I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that can match.
Yo. Blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, really going down in the South. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as you know, we get into sports our way. We talk about sports the way we would talk about it. You dig? This is your audio shop talk coming straight from the South. Do a lot of housekeeping before we really get into it. Remember, the fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants delivers African history directly to your fingertips by their African History book series, their blog, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, and the people of On the Shoulders of Giants will also come directly to you and provide you with seminars, lectures, classroom lessons, curriculums, all different types of things, activities, games directly for you to learn African history. And you can even access African history on your phone, your tablet, your computer, anything you need. So remember, make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more. And also visit www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. You can follow me, Joseph Ward, on Twitter at JoeWard84. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like the Freedom Train Network's Facebook page. Subscribe to the Freedom Train Network's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to The Fix on iTunes and Google Play. Just go type in Freedom Train Network. You'll see The Fix and subscribe to it. You can also subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast series on iTunes and Google Play. That way, you can be down to be cool. Hey, it was a lively week in sports. It was a pretty lively week in sports, so let's go ahead and get into it. So, you know, we start off with our HBCU spotlight. And today we are putting our spotlight on the still undefeated 7-0 Virginia State University as they dropped 73 points on Lincoln University this past Saturday. They put their foot knee deep in the backs of the players of Lincoln University. I don't know if Lincoln really was ready for this game. Actually, apparently, hell, they wasn't, because they got rolled over. I'm talking about straight up rolled over. 73. How do you give up 73 points? That's embarrassing. That means you decided to not make a commitment on defense. But it's not about Lincoln. It is about Virginia State. So let's delve a little deeper, right? So Lincoln's quarterback, what's his name? The quarterback's name is Cook. Cook had 152 yards. Hold on, am I reading the right one? Yeah. Okay, I'm tripping. Cook had 152 passing yards. Their receiver, Joshua Harris, had 95 reception yards. Their running back, Trent Cannon, had 9 carries for 253 yards and 5 touchdowns. And Virginia State racked up 699 total yards versus the 331 total yards for Lincoln University, right? I don't know what Lincoln was thinking, but they sure was thinking. You get that? Yeah, lame ass joke. Yeah, I said it. I said a lame ass joke. You laugh too. You laugh at my lame ass joke. God damn it. I know I'm stupid, but hey, Lincoln got whooped. One time for the Virginia State University for coming out and just deciding to commit to victory. And so, like I said, they're 7-0 on the season. They're undefeated in the conference and undefeated in their division. And, you know, they keep doing what they're doing. They could make it to the playoffs. If you make it to the playoffs, you know you got a chance to win that chip. When you win that chip, it's all good. It's been a minute since a black college team has won the chip. So we need some black colleges to win the chip. And we got a couple of teams that are still undefeated. So Virginia State being one of these teams that is still undefeated. So we want to show some love to the fighting, whatever they are, of Virginia State University. So my studio audience, go ahead, show Virginia State University some love. They dropped 73 points on Lincoln University. I'm saying, if you're going to show up, show up. If you're going to show out, show up. They showed up, showed out, knee-deep up in Lincoln University's ass. I mean, I love football, but I love defense. That's my favorite aspect of the game. So even though scores like this are fun to see, games like that, for me, are not fun to watch. That's why I don't like Big 12 football, because they don't play no damn defense. I like SEC football, because they play defense. And I'm from this part of the South. But hey, it's all good. But shout out to Virginia State one more time for doing their thing this past weekend and dropping 73 points on Lincoln University. And, you know, going down there and doing their thing and making it feel good. So now, let's talk about some NFL stuff. Now, remember last week when I told y'all that Jerry Jones put out an edict that if any player of the Dallas Cowboys took a knee during the national anthem, that they would not play, he would make them sit during the game. So I said no player would take a knee. And I was right. None of the players took a knee. I think it was reported that one player, he throws his fists up at the end of the anthem of every game, so he did that. But none of the players took a knee. Now, me, personally, being the person that I am, as y'all have probably picked up on so far, not only would I have taken the knee, I probably would have laid all the way out on the dang on field during the whole national anthem. I would have laid out. I would have been posing. Straight up stretched out in the middle of the field, straight up. Jerry would have been mad at me. And I would have tried to coax as many people along with me. Now, I've always said from the beginning, if you have the money to take the fines, take a stand. I know everybody don't get paid the same, but if you got the money to take the fines, take a stand. Now, once again, I'm going to reiterate that we are not expecting our athletes and entertainers to be activists. But damn it, if you are a person who is going to be if you're going to pretend to be an activist, pretend well, right? And if you have the money to take that game check fine, take it. But as expected, none of the Cowboy players took a knee. So we know that they are soft. And that reaffirms one of the things that I believe, that a good number, if not a great number, of the NFL players are the house niggas of the sporting world. We have a handful of players who, since Colin Kaepernick started taking the knee last year, have been in support of taking a knee for the social injustices and the unjust killings of African-American men and women. But now we have some sucker-ass players who are taking knees and things and doing their little fake demonstrations because of what Trump said. Y'all can keep that shit. Because what we need is some real victories, not these moral victories that people are used to getting. Y'all can keep the moral victories. Moral victories get you in the same place 50 years from now, asking the same questions, wondering what the hell has happened. That's what moral victories get you, right? Back in the same place, wondering what the hell has happened to us and where are we and how come the progress isn't different? How come the progress isn't more meaningful? How come the progress isn't more fruitful? How come the progress isn't translating into something more tangible for us as a people? So when you start asking questions like that, that means you're making some bad moves. And it also means it's time for you to make different moves. But have we learned that? I am not really sure. But that's why we talk our people. That's why they got folk like me who come on the podcast and keep it real with you. Now, of course, I am going to ruffle a lot of feathers with the things that I say. But unlike other people, I don't care about you being uncomfortable with the stance that I take. You did. I really don't care what stance that you take him to me. I don't give a fuck. Right? But back to, I know, man, I'm wild. I know. I bust out singing. It's all good. And I ain't even say the words, right? I don't care. But the fact of the matter is, none of the Cowboy players took a knee. They followed what their master said. Master Jerry said, we can't take no knee. So we just can't take no knee now. Master Jerry said, don't no knee, I'll take no knee. So we can't take no knee. We need these checks. We've got to go home to our wives and our houses. And Master can't be mad at us. Jerry Jones, the owner of the player of the Dallas Cowboys, told his property not to take a knee, and his property did not take a knee. Let that marinate. So if any other Cowboy player try to jump hard, try to act like they're hard, try to act like they live, try to say some hardcore stuff, try to get Buck in the chest, remind them that their owner, Jerry Jones, still got them by the balls, and the chains are still on their brains. So, yeah, you guys are not disappointing to me because I expected this, but I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed in you. Me, you all did exactly what I expected you to do. Hell on, Dallas Cowboy players. Y'all can get the hell on. I am further football news. I found out that Kaepernick filed a grievance against the NFL for collusion to not hire him. Cap, guess what? Everybody can tell you that the NFL owners conspired to not give you a job. Me and my man Patrick and Professor Carl Tone Jones and Monique Gamble, Erica Tobel, and I think the Latry Hollinger, we were talking about this a year ago, how Cap is going to need people in his corner, going to need more organization and things, and that truly didn't happen for Cap. So, because we knew he wasn't going to get a job. We knew he was going to be out of a job because the stance that he took. And as the season approached, and we noticed that Kaepernick was not getting a job, that he was not getting signed, when they started signing garbage-ass arena league white boy quarterbacks over him. I knew it was over for Cap. Still now, at this juncture in the NFL, you have quarterbacks going down left and right. Aaron Rodgers just went down with the broken shoulder. And the Packers could use a quarterback like Cap. They have a quarterback with similar skill sets in Brett Hundley, but having Cap and Hundley could work. It's a host of teams. The Jets, it's a host of teams who could use a quarterback right now. But none of them have reached out to Colin Kaepernick for his services. So, Cap went on ahead and did what he did and filed a grievance. So let me read you this article from SportsIllustrated.com by Chris Chavez. Let me read some of it. Free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick is pursuing a collusion grievance against the NFL under the CBA, or CBS collective bargaining agreement, according to Jason LeCanfor. Jason LeCanfor of CBS Sports and Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report. The NFL spokesman told LeCanfor that he is checking on it. Kaepernick remains a free agent since opting out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers in March. Kaepernick was one of the NFL's biggest stories in 2016 after he decided to kneel during the national anthem to protest and raise awareness against racial injustice in America. Players throughout the league have continued protesting during this NFL season. As explained by Sports Illustrated's Michael McCann in March, collusion occurs when two or more teams or the league and at least one team join to deprive a player of a contractually earned right. Such a right is normally found in the collective bargaining agreement signed by a league and its players' association. For example, the right of a free agent player to negotiate a contract with the team cannot be impaired by a conspiracy of teams to deny that player a chance to sign. Ding, 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 ding. The thing is, will your lawyer be brilliant enough to make this happen? We all know what the business is. Everybody in America knows what the business is. Everybody who got sense in America knows what the business is. But the question is, can your lawyers make this happen for you, Cap? We know you got something. We know you got a case. But can they bring it home? Can they bring it home? Can they bring it home? Does Colin Kaepernick have a legit collusion case? Kaepernick has hired attorney Mark Gregos, who has represented high-profile clients including Michael Jackson, Winona Ryder, and NASCAR driver Jeremy Mayfield. Gregos issued the following statement. We can confirm that this morning we filed a grievance under the CBA on behalf of Colin Kaepernick. This was done only after pursuing every possible avenue with all NFL teams and their executives. If the NFL, as well as all professional sports leagues, is to remain a mediocrity. Oh, excuse me. I can't read. It's meritocracy. I can't read. Excuse me. Let me start that back over. I'm like Dave Chappelle right now. If the NFL, as well as all professional sports leagues, is to remain a meritocracy, I say it right this time, then principled and peaceful political protests, which the owners themselves made a great theater imitating to go. Hey, let me back up, though. I like that principled and peaceful political protest. It sounds like he's trying to be a rap. He's trying to be smooth. You see Greco's trying to be smooth to make the principled, peaceful political protest. I bet you he was sitting in front of the TV in his pajamas, still with his church socks on, watching The Voice is on writing this, trying to be live, talking about the principal peaceful political protest. You ain't lying. You ain't lying. I hear you, though. I hear you. Okay, so which the owners themselves made great theater imitating weeks ago, should not be punished, and athletes should not be denied employment based on partisan political provocation. You hear him again? You hear him again? You hear him again? By the executive branch of our government. Such a president threatens all patriotic Americans and harkens back to our darkest days as a nation. Protecting all athletes from such collusive conduct is what compelled Mr. Kaepernick to file this grievance. I hear you, Gregos. I can't read the name. Gregos. Mark Gregos. I'm tripping. But it's all good. I ain't never win no damn spelling bee, but damn it, I can read. All right? So, but yeah, Cap filed his grievance, and Cap has a case, but once again, his lawyer has to bring it home. So Garrett goes, can you bring it home? Can you bring it home? I said, Garrett goes, can you bring it home? We're going to see. We're going to see what Garrett goes. You might switch pen, but we're going to see, can you bring it home? So, I mean, I hope that Cap is able to bring it home. I hope Garagos is able to bring it home. I hope the NFL got to pay this man. I do hope the NFL got to pay this man. And I hope that something is put in place with that ragged-ass collective bargaining agreement and that ragged-ass players association. It needs to improve. But I hope something is put in place so things of this nature cannot happen in the future. The players' union is not as strong as the players' unions in other sports. The contracts, the union, collective bargaining agreement, the players' association, all these different components that represent the players are not that strong, right? Contracts are not guaranteed, all these different things that hurt the players. So we gotta think deeper into this football thing as black people, as we work to push our children, especially our young men, into the football realm. We got to make sure that we learn everything about this game, because this game is designed to chew people up and spit them out, right? The game is designed to milk everything from the athlete, and the athlete has to learn to play the game and learn how to pimp the game while the game is pimping it. Because football, once again, is not an end, but a means to an end. It's a tool to help you get to higher places. It's not the highest place. So let's remember that. And let's pay attention to what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. Now, also, Master P has come out and said, hey, Cap, let's start our own league, Woody. P. Diddy said, Master P said, now, will something actually shake out of that? I don't know. But those are two people who can actually make some things happen, who get some foundations going, who can help set that foundation. So, and they can get other wealthy people involved. So I hope something comes out of that. Like I say, I got money on it. If we build not only, I got money on it. So, yeah. But Kaepernick, man, I wish you the best. And I hope we learn something from this. Hope we learn what power of organization is. If this whole situation would have been better organized, yeah, Cap still would have been blackballed. But he would be better equipped to handle the black ball, I would say. All right. So, in further football news, I just found this out. Adrian Peterson was traded from the New Orleans Saints to the Arizona Cardinals for a conditional sixth round pick. He was traded about 2 weeks ago. And in his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where the Cardinals won 38-33, Adrian Peterson had 26 carries for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, you know, he burst on the scene. That was a great debut. It was a great debut. Now, in his second game, Sunday, against the L.A. Rams, where the Cardinals lost 33-0, Adrian Peterson had 11 carries for 21 yards. So his second game with the Cardinals wasn't as great, but the first game was great. First on the scene, he's still fresh. Now, Peterson to the Saints in the first place, I was iffy about that. Three backs, Kamara, Ingram, Peterson. Kamara and Ingram are used to sharing time. Backfield. Kamara played for Tennessee last year. He shared time with, I think, Kelly in the backfield. And I think they had like two or three backs in the backfield for Tennessee. So Kamara is used to sharing time. Mark Ingram shared time at Alabama with Trent Richardson. And he's always shared time at New Orleans. they're better fit for that system in New Orleans. They're not the workhorse type of back that Adrian Peterson is. So when they brought him over to New Orleans, I was kind of iffy, but I was like, hey, man, well, you know, maybe Sean Payton will give in a bit and like, let the bell cow do his thing. No. Sean Payton stuck to his guns and ran this offense the way it normally ran. And Adrian Peterson was tripping. He was getting 6 carries and all these things here. And he was very unhappy. And as you can see, that experiment didn't last too long. He ended up in Arizona. So, you know, I wish him the best in Arizona. But that goes to show you that as a free agent, even as long as Peterson has been in the league, he still made a bad decision with the team that he was choosing, because I'm not sure what the process was that he went through to choose his team, but it wasn't the best process either, because you end up at a team like New Orleans and it was a free agent, right? So he's in Arizona, and David Johnson, Arizona starting running back, was hurt in the first game. Broke his wrist in the first game, so Adrian Peterson is the back. Chris Johnson was cut, so that's why Adrian Peterson is running number 23, so Chris Johnson was cut, and Adrian Peterson going to get them carries, and we're going to see what happens at the end of the season, and we're going to see what happens going into the next season, because the Cardinals may have 2 good-ass running backs. We're going to see, and, you know, Arizona is the destination for older backs, where they go find a couple more years in their legs and do their thing, you know. So I wish HP the best, and hopefully, you know, hopefully he do his thing. Hopefully he ball out. You know, I'm an agent. I like Adrian Peterson as a football player. I like to see him running the ball. I like to see him doing his thing. I like to see him dominating the league. We all know what Adrian Peterson can do. We all know he's a machine, and I just want to see the machine be a machine. So that's just me, man. I like hard-nosed defense. I like running the ball. I do like Andy that, but I like busting people in their mouth and taking their soul. That's the type of football I like. Like, when I play, I like to hit motherfuckers so hard. I talk about hit them so hard that they scream but don't no sound come out. Like when their mama spank them, right? Taking their soul. That's what I like. That's the type of football that I like. Now, is that the type of football that's best to play? Nope. Am I promoting that? Nope. I'm just telling you what I like. I grew up on old school football, so hey, I'm just talking about what I like. All right, so while we're still talking about football, let's talk about some college football, right? So this past Saturday, we had a slew of games that happened. And, you know, the season or the week starts on Thursday. So we had a slew of games, some good games, some bad games. People got smashed, all these different things. So let's go through it. Let's get into it, right? So the Thursday game was Memphis against Houston. Now, remember Houston last year had, I think Tom Herman was the coach. And what's your name? Charlie Strong got ran out of Texas. And Houston was good at the beginning of the season, and they start to lose games at the end of the season. But nevertheless, Tom Herman still got the job as soon as Charlie Strong was ran out of Texas. So now Houston, under the leadership of Tom Herman, they're 4-3 and 2-2 in their conference, in the American Conference, and they face number 25 Memphis, who is 6-1. And Memphis, you know, edged them out with a 42-38 victory. So, you know, one time for Houston, one time for Memphis. I'm going to see what comes out of that. They're in the same conference in South Florida, Central Florida. We're going to talk about them later. So, you know, we talked about Tennessee earlier. Well, I mentioned Tennessee talking about running back Kamara for the New Orleans Saints. Well, his old squad, the Tennessee Volunteers, who were expected to be good this year, just like most SEC teams, they have talent. But Tennessee is one of those SEC teams who's going to continue to get good talent. Now, they were expected to be pretty good in the SEC this year, but Tennessee is 3-4 on the year and 0-4 in the SEC. And they just got smacked by Alabama, 45-7. Now, Alabama didn't dominate the game statistically like they did last week, but nevertheless, they dominated Tennessee. They ran the game, just kept barreling it down Tennessee's throat. Tennessee couldn't do anything about it. I think the only touchdown was like a fumble or interception or something like that Tennessee had. But Alabama just motherfucking ran over those boys. Rocky Mountain, my ass. Your mountain got blew up by that elephant. Came, ran through, rolled tide straight over your ass. So Alabama's still number one in holding strong. And Alabama is showing no weakness. So, yeah. Yeah, that's what that is. So, the next game, you know, number two, Penn State, played number 19, Michigan. And Penn State came away with the victory after smacking Michigan 42-13. Saquon Barkley. So, let's look at the stats and see what Saquon did. Because, you know, we got to keep our eye on Saquon this year. Saquon is the leader in the Heisman race. So, he had 15 carries for 108 yards, 2 touchdowns, as well as 3 receptions for 53 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, Saquon doing his thing, 3 touchdowns, over 160-something total yards. And remember, Saquon returns the ball, too. He does. So he had 1 kick return for 15 yards. So, he almost had 200. Saquon and the Penn State Nittany Lions remain undefeated, and they're the number two team in the country behind Alabama, and right now the best team in the Big Ten. And they're playing like the best team in the Big Ten. So that game against Ohio State, when it comes, that's going to be an interesting game to see if Ohio State can actually Penn State for the number four team in the nation, TCU, they had a scrimmage against Kansas, which they came out on top 43-0, and they held Kansas to 21 total yards. Yes, I said it, 21 total yards. 21 total yards. 21, I'm going to keep saying it to you. Get tired of me saying it. 21 total yards. 21 total yards. 2-1, Deion Sanders, total yards. Kansas, did you not know you were playing a real football game? Well, did you come out with your third team? I mean, we know you, Kansas. Like, we know you can. And the thing, Kansas actually has a win on the season. Who lost to Kansas? Who's the team that lost to Kansas? Who lost to Kansas? 21 total yards. And the boys actually have a victory. They're 1-6. But the fact is, Kansas beat somebody. Who they played? McNeese State? Played, what? I don't know. Some high school team? Who did Kansas play? 21 total yards. TCU is the only team in the Big 12 who has a commitment to defense. I ride with TCU. Well, I don't ride with TCU. Let me not say that. But I would watch TCU. They come on TV, I watch TCU. And I respect that they play defense. Because like I said, you know me, I like defense. And TCU play defense. And one time for them, but not for their conference. So. Next, number 5, Wisconsin played Maryland, and like they were supposed to, they beat Maryland 38-13. Maryland is 3-4 in the season. Wisconsin remains undefeated at 7-0. You know, right now, Wisconsin, TCU, Penn State, and Alabama looking like the four that could be in the Final Four, while Miami is still knocking on the door. Speaking of Miami, they are, you know, at the time, the number 8 team in the country. But, you know, the playoff rankings and standards are going to come out Tuesday. And so when that comes out, we're going to see where Miami lands. Of course, I know they're going to move up. They might, if not the top five, they're probably number six or something like that. But Miami beat Syracuse at home. Well, Miami was the home team. They beat Syracuse 27-19 to remain undefeated and still the number one team in the ACC, even though, you know, they still have Clemson. And Clemson's number three team. We didn't talk about them because they had a bye week. But Miami right now is the team and the best team in the ACC, the team in the ACC with the best record. Then Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma played Kansas State, and it's Big 12 football, so they didn't play defense. And so the score was Oklahoma came out victorious 42-35. And so Baker Mayfield is also in high running, so let's look at the stats to see what Baker Mayfield did. And actually, Baker did get off in this game. Baker did have a pretty good game. So he went 32-41 for 410 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. That's what he went for. So, like I said, Baker had a good game. So let's see these total yards. Let's see the yards. So total passing yards. Oklahoma had 410. Kansas State had 144. Rushing yards, Kansas had 268. Kansas State had 268. Oklahoma had 209. So, yeah, they don't care about defense. They don't care about defense in the Big 12. That's why no Big 12 team is going to win anything anytime soon. Except outside of TCU, they so happen to make the Final Four because they play defense. So, the next game is Oklahoma State in Texas, and Oklahoma State beat Texas 13-10, and Texas, is not playing good football. Y'all, Texas, y'all ran the black man out. You gonna bring the black man in, don't support the black man. And then when the black man don't be as successful because y'all don't support him like that, you bring in Tom Herman. And I'm probably saying his name wrong, but I don't care at this time. His name Tom Herman. His name gonna be Tom Herman. And they losing. And even though I do support Texas, I do like watching Texas football, I'm kind of glad that they losing because you're gonna the black man and not, and you're gonna sabotage it for the black man. And I'm glad y'all ain't good. USC, number 11 USC, got smacked by number 49 Notre Dame dropped their nuts on USC, actually, 49-14. USC was straight dominated. And Notre Dame looking like one of those teams that would vastly move up in the polls because Georgia, Notre Dame is 6-1, and their only loss was to the Georgia Bulldogs. And Georgia is looking like one of the best teams in the country, maybe the second best team in the SEC, and definitely one of the top three teams in the nation. Georgia probably would be the number two or number three team in the nation. And let me take that back because I'll talk about the Final Four. So to me, the Final Four came out to be Alabama, Penn State, Georgia, and probably Wisconsin right now. And with Miami and TCU looking on the outside. But Notre Dame is looking better because Georgia's looking better. So Virginia Tech, one of the better teams in the ACC. I think Notre Dame has to play Virginia Tech as well, but Virginia Tech smacked North Carolina. Well, actually, they dropped their nuts on North Carolina, 59-7, right? Washington State dropped their nuts on Colorado, 28-0. South Florida beat Tulane, 34-28. South Florida 7-0. And that conference, in the American Conference, they might be one of the teams who could shake up something. But we're going to see how this is playing out. Michigan State beat Indiana like they were supposed to, 17-9. UCF remains undefeated with 31-21 victory over Navy. Auburn looking like they're trying to regain themselves and play Auburn football. They beat Arkansas like they were supposed to, 52-20. They dropped their nuts on Arkansas. West Virginia with Willie G back there at quarterback beat Baylor 38-36. And Willie G, young P.E.B. If you don't know, Willie G is Will Greer, who's the quarterback that was playing for Florida a couple years ago, who Florida, crazy with the season. He was suspended for PED found in his system, and he transferred to Florida. He popped up at West Virginia, and balling. Coming into this game, he was leading the nation in passing touchdowns. I think he had 21. So in this game, got his Willie G stats. He went 26-37 for 375 yards and 5 touchdowns. And I think Willie G will be one of the top quarterback prospects going into the NFL. Because Willie G is down to the quarterback. So just imagine Will Greer with that Florida defense. Florida would be team Alabama would not want to see if Florida actually had a quarterback. I believe Florida is that one team. Well, one of the teams, like Clemson, you know, last year with Watson. But Florida, that team, man, if they had a quarterback, man, they would give Alabama a fix. The last game, LSU looked like they're trying to beat LSU again. They beat Ole Miss like they should, 40-24. So that is a recap of our college football weekend. Like I said, it was a good weekend in college football. I had fun watching it. I fell asleep on a couple games, but I had fun watching college football. I like football, man. I'm glad this football thing. This time of year is good because you got hockey, you got football, you got baseball, you got basketball, you got all these things going on. But for the most part, you got football going on. We can watch football. When it's not football season, I'd be tripping. All right. So this past Thursday was the opening night of the NBA, and the NBA season has started. Yeah, I feel like football got the longest offseason. All the rest of them got shorter offseasons, right? So, first two games of opening night were the Boston Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, then the Houston Rockets versus the Golden State Warriors. And in that first game, Celtics and the Cavs, but we know now Derrick Rose is hurt now. But in that first game, I was like, well, if IT can come back and Derrick Rose can come off the bench. So for the Cavs, coming off the bench before the Derrick Rose injury, in my mind, I was thinking, so yeah, IT, either IT at the point or IT coming off the bench. So their bench could be either Isaiah Thomas or Derrick Rose, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, and Tristan Thompson coming off the bench for somebody else at the five. So Cleveland looked like they could be pretty good. Then you got Dwayne Wade in the mix and all these things here with Crowder. So, but Cleveland ended up beating the Boston Celtics 102-99. Now, one of the things from this game is Gordon Hayward, the new acquisition for the Boston Celtics, broke his ankle. And it was nasty. He went up for an alley-oop, got caught up in some traffic, came down wrong, and broke his ankle. So he's out for an extended period of time. So that changes things for the Boston Celtics moving forward. So Kyrie going to have to carry more of the load. Now, in the second game, it's Golden State Warriors against the Houston Rockets. I'm just going to have to say, like, the Golden State Warriors are already in the finals. Yes, they lost the game against the Rockets, 21-22. And Kevin Durant's game-winning shot was waved off. But the Rockets, the Warriors look like the Warriors are the best team. When you got people coming off your bench scoring 30, like the Warriors got better. Let me say that again. The Golden State Warriors got better. They got better. Damn. Now, better. Spurs got better. The Rockets did get better. But so did the Warriors. They got better. So they're going to be hell. They're going to be hell. So that was that Thursday. That was Tuesday. Excuse me. Tuesday, October 17th. That Wednesday had a slate of games. And the standout, one of the standout games from that day was the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. And we got to see Ben Simmons against John Wall and them. And the Sixers are going to be better. Not going to say they're going to be good, but the Sixers are going to definitely be better. Let me give you some scores. So the Charlotte Hornets on Wednesday, October 18th, the Charlotte Hornets lost to the Detroit Pistons 90-102. The Brooklyn Nets beat, no, they lost to the Indiana Pacers 131-140. Miami Heat fell to the Orlando Magic 109-116. 76ers actually fell to the Wizards 115-120. The Milwaukee Bucks with the Greek Freak. The Bucks beat the Celtics 108-100, and Giannis the Greek Freak had 37 points that game. The Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans beat, well, they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies 91-103. The Atlanta Hawks beat the Dallas Mavericks 117-111. Utah Jazz beat the Nuggets 106-96. San Antonio Spurs beat the Timberwolves 107-99. Keep your eyes on the Spurs. The Trailblazers beat the Phoenix Suns 102-76, and I'm coming back talking about the Suns. The Rockets beat the Kings this day 105-100, and this is Wednesday, October 18th. So Thursday, October 19th, we had the Chicago Bulls, who failed at the Toronto Raptors 100-117. The two highlight games from this Thursday, this past Thursday, were the New York Knicks versus the Oklahoma City Thunder and the LA Clippers versus the LA Lakers. And you know, the Clippers and Lakers, because of the debut of Lonzo Ball. And Lonzo Ball's debut was not that good because he ran into something called Patrick Beverley. And Patrick Beverley gave Lonzo Ball the business, and he let him know from the beginning that he was all about that action, boss. And Lonzo wasn't really ready. He knew it was coming, but he wasn't really ready for it. And Lonzo had, like, what, 5 or 6 points in that game, so he didn't really do too good. Now, in the other game, Oklahoma City Thunder and the Knicks, the Thunder looked good. The Thunder is a good team. Now, the Thunder has lost a couple games, but the Thunder is a good team. But this game against the Knicks, they dominated like they should, 105-84. And the Clippers beat the Lakers 108-92 on Thursday. So Friday, the Hawks lost to the Charlotte Hornets 91-109. Portland Trail Blazers lost to the Pacers 114-96. The Celtics actually beat the 76ers 102-92. The Detroit Pistons lost to Washington Wizards 111-115. The Cavs beat the Bucks 116-97. Told you the Cavs look good. I like what the Cavs. It's early, but I think the Cavs look good. I think the Cavs are coming out the East as well. Could be the Cavs and the Wizards in the finals. So the Magic lost to the Nets 121-126. Timberwolves beat the Jazz 197. The Mavericks lost to the Kings 93-88. The Golden State Warriors beat the New Orleans Pelicans 128-120. And the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Phoenix Suns 132-130. And Lonzo Ball bounced back against the Suns with a triple double, stopped dropping 29 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. Now, clearly he wasn't playing Patrick Beverley again. And clearly people are going to beat up on the Phoenix Suns this year. So that was Friday. So Saturday, October 21st, what was the highlight game? The highlight was, there was no real highlight game. But so let me just give you the scores, right? So the 76ers lost to the Raptors 94-128. Magic lost to the Cavs. Magic beat the Cavs actually 114-93. The Pacers lost to the Heat 108-112. The Pistons beat the Knicks 111-107. The Spurs beat the Bulls 87-77. The Rockets beat the Mavs 107-91. The Grizzlies beat the Warriors 111-101. The Trailblazers lost to the Bucks 110-113. Sacramento Kings lost to the Denver Nuggets 79-96. Oklahoma City Thunder lost to the Jazz 87-96. The Clippers beat the Suns. Of course, everybody beat the Suns 130-188. Everybody scoring massive points on the Suns too. So Sunday game, the Atlanta Hawks lost to the Brooklyn Nets 104-116. The Timberwolves beat the Oklahoma City Thunder with Andrew Wiggins game winning shot off the glass, 115-113, and the Lakers played the Pelicans, and they lost to the Pelicans 119-112. And this was the game after Alonzo Ball had his triple-double, and he didn't do so good against the Pelicans. I think he had like 6 points in this game. So he had one good game so far, two bad games so far. So, you know, that's just a little recap on what's going on in the NBA coming up. And, you know, stay tuned because I think it's going to be a pretty good season. You know, basketball back, man. I usually don't pay attention to basketball until after football season, but since we're not really watching football like that this year, then I got to pay attention to something, so I'm going to watch basketball. So you're going to hear me talk about basketball a little more than you usually would, especially when we don't really talk about basketball like that, especially during football season. I think it's blasphemous, but hey, you know. Now, let me move on a bit. So, not to stay too long on this topic, but baseball is finally down to its final two teams, the 2017 World Series Finals, where the Houston Astros will be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 1 at 8 p.m. on Fox in L.A. Justin Verlander. Yeah, he a pitcher for the Astros. He going to be thrown. Yasiel Puig, he's a batter. He's a player for the left fielder for the Dodgers. Now, I called him two names because I'm going to be straight up with you. I ain't really paid attention to baseball like that this year. So then the only two people I know on two teams as of right now until I actually dig into it, but I ain't really been into baseball like that. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't really like baseball like that. Really don't like. Hey, and when I played baseball back in the days, I played City League baseball 1 year. And I knew I wasn't gonna be good. Well, I was good, but I wasn't good. I could field the hell out of that ball. I could catch that ball. I could throw that ball. Baseball, for the most part. No, for somebody with no baseball training, I was good. I was the most athletic. Of course, I won the black people, so one of the most athletic people on the team, right? My biggest issue is I couldn't hit. I did not have one hit on the year. Let me tell you the story. I ain't never really told too many for the story, so let me tell you the story, too. So one day, I'm at school, baseball game day, and it's a pretty big game coming up because we're trying to make the playoffs, right? And so I ain't gonna really use no name, so I'm gonna say my homeboy, little buddy, and old girl, one and two, right? So me and my homeboy in the lunchroom chilling, and then little buddy were friends of my homeboy, right? So me and my homeboy chilling, little buddy come up, and then old girl one and two come up, right? Everybody sitting in the lunchroom, like middle school, just like seventh, eighth grade, with more seventh grade, right? So the girls always were trying to instigate a fight between me and little buddy. So you can say they were successful. They were successful in instigating a fight between me and little buddy. Little buddy took the bait. I didn't want to fight little buddy, but little buddy kept messing with me. And the boy kept taking bait from the girl, and he was trying to be harder from the girls. And so me, you know, I'm G-code. Man, I live by the G-code. I'm G-code, right? So the buddy did get to the point where he had to get these hands. He had to get these hands. There was no way the buddy was not going to get these hands. He had to get these hands because he went too far in his fuckery, right? Trying to impress old girl one and two. Even if the old girl one and two was no type of play at all, right? But I ain't fight buddy at school in front of the girls. So I'm letting you know, still on cheat code, right? So we go to my home, so we plan to fight at my homeboy house. So I know I got like an hour or 2 hours before my game. So my thing was, I have to go up here and knock his ass out, go ahead and go back home, go to my game. So everything went according to plan. But let me tell you, it was a little tweaks to it. So little buddy had another little homeboy, And LeBoy, the other little homeboy, was my homeboy too. But LeBoy had brought his other little homeboy up to my homeboy's house to jump me. My homeboy will tell me that LeBoy had brought his other little homeboy to my house to jump, right? So I knew what was going on. So I was ready. I was like, all right, I know LeBoy ain't got too many friends or whatever, whatever, whatever. So when I got out there and LeBoy, the homeboy, seen who I was, he was like, oh, nah, man, I fuck with him. I fuck with him. I can't mess with him. So me and Buddy square off. I know me, remind you, I'm on time, right? So me and Buddy, he square up. I hit him, bam. I stomp my boom, boom, two, three times, bam, 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 fight over. I get on my bike. I rode my bike down, so I got to get my bike going back up and get ready for this game. My hand hurting. I ain't hit him right. My hand hurting, right? And I was already garbage at the plate, too, right? Remind you, at this point in the season, I still already ain't have no hits on the year, right? Because I'm garbage at the plate. Hot garbage at the plate. I'm talking about. I hit more dirt than baseball that year. I swear I did. My back touched more dirt than baseball, right? So I'm already garbage at the plate. My hand hurting. It's starting to swell a little bit. But I can't tell my mama and my coaches that I just swung on the plate because he tried me. And still sticking to G-code, still to this day. When we went back to school the next day, people asked what happened. I looked at Buddy, sticking to G-code. I was like, man, ain't nothing happened. We ain't fight. So that's how I played it. Because I wanted to keep it strictly between me and the Buddy. Because I wasn't trying to shine on Buddy, and he was trying to shine on me in front of the female. But I did want Buddy to know that he wasn't fucking with me. Don't let Slim fool you. But anyway, so I had to get back to the game. How about this is the one game where I actually make contact with the ball? With my hand hurt. I actually make contact with the ball, and the ball going out, I hit the ball, and it's like slow motion. I stepped into it. You know I wasn't good, so I was closing my eyes. And so when I felt the bat hit the ball, ping, I'm like, oh, shoot, I hit the ball. I got excited. So I opened my eyes and started digging. Man, white boy caught my ball, man. I'm out. I go back to the plate. I'm trying to massage my hand. Because I'm thinking, man, this is the last time this bat probably going to touch the ball. And, yep, I was right. That was the last time that bat test that goddamn ball. So the moral of the story is, if your ass can't hit the ball, don't be out there fighting. Even though I won the fight, I still was garbage in baseball. So I quit, and football became my number one sport. And so I switched from hitting baseballs to hitting people. Take it as so. Alright, so I just want to drop that little story on y'all. So, talk about some hockey real quick. Apparently, there are at least 30 black hockey players in the league. One of them I know named P.K. Subban, played for the Memphis Predators. They just went to the Stanley Cup. And the other one I just learned about named J.T. Brown. J.T. Brown got the dreads in his head, got some wigs in his head with little blonde tips. I see J.T. But J.T., let me read this article to you by A.J. Perez of USA Today Sports. Excuse me, teach about J.T. So Tampa Bay like before J.T. Brown said, excuse me, the government trying to hit me. All right. Tampa Bay Lightning Fort J.T. Brown said Wednesday he would no longer raise his fist during the national anthem as he did before a game earlier this month. I am done raising my fist, Brown wrote on Twitter. And I am now using this support opportunity and platform to call out everyone who agreed to disagree with me to help by sharing suggestions, continuing respectful conversations, and looking for ways they too can help make a difference. Brown, one of 30 black players in the NHL, raised his fist during the Star-Spangled Banner as Tampa Bay faced the Florida Panthers on October 7th. He was the first NHL player to protest the anthem actions that started last season in the NFL to call attention to the racial inequality and police brutality. I'm going to add to black people, because they didn't want to say the poll to black people. So let me read you what JT, this is a statement from JT on Twitter. I don't know how he got this long ass statement. I don't really know Twitter like that. Probably got some tweets. When I began my peaceful demonstration, I wanted to bring awareness to police brutality, racial injustice, and inequalities. I also wanted to show that these issues were not going unnoticed by the hockey community. I am incredibly thankful for my team's support. My teammates, coaches, management, staff, and Mr. Vinnick were all supportive of my choice to exercise my First Amendment right, regardless of their personal feelings. Immediately after the game last Saturday, they asked me how they can help me accomplish what I want to be done. I have already begun speaking with the Tampa Bay Police Department. I am donating more than 600 tickets so that organizations like Biggs and Blue and the Rich House can come out to our games. I will also be meeting with police officers and kids afterwards. I will be getting involved with Mr. and Mrs. Phoenix program within the Winston Park Boys and Girls Club, where the Hillsborough County deputies volunteer. Together, we will help teach these kids valuable life lessons on how to play hockey. I will also continue to explore new ways to get involved in the community to help build bridges and create rewarding relationships. I understand that this issue cannot be resolved overnight, nor can I do it alone. I am raising my fist during the national anthem. I am now using this support opportunity and platform to call out everyone who agreed to disagree with me by sharing suggestions, continuing respectful conversations, and looking for ways they too can help make a difference in their community. Thank you, Tampa Bay Lightning fans and the Now, one suggestion I would give you, Brown, is to stop working. But I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not. I'm going to say the bulk of your work should be in the black community, helping to eliminate poverty and homelessness. Right? Promote education in that community, police violence, being able to empower a community to be able to uplift and protect themselves. Like my man Patrick Irvin said, a community that has three things. Mm-hmm. It can communicate, it can protect, and it can provide. Our communities need to be able to do these things, communicate, protect, and provide, because that will minimize the things that we encounter with the police, to be able to communicate, protect, and provide. So, JT, I would say the bulk of your work needs to be in the black community to help make the black community better. Use your money to help improve conditions within the black community. Building more schools that will encourage kids to empower themselves, and more African-centered schools. We need more African-centered schools, not African-centered schools who are just copycats of these Eurocentric-type schools who have elitism and all these things here. But real African-centered schools that are about empowering people. We need economic bases to be strengthened in our community. If there's no economic base, we need to be economic bases. We need to be places where people can eat. People need to be able to provide for themselves. People need to be able to eat. People need to be able to make money. People need to be able to protect and communicate. And if our community can do those things, that will help eliminate police brutality. Now, how do we do those things? No. If you have the ability to hire, if we can help each other by supporting businesses and all these different things, there's many different things we can do. There's no one answer to this, and I'm not acting like I have the one answer. He asked for suggestions. I'm just giving out suggestions of things that I think that we could do. And for a person in his position, I think that helping to raise the economic status of the communities and eliminating joblessness and poverty, those are things that can help. Help raise the self-esteem of the people. Help raise the consciousness and awareness of the people. And the people understand how important it is to be able to protect themselves. Things will change. Culture shifts. Culture changes. So, that's what I think. So, now y'all know who JT Brown is. So, it is time now for my weekly rant. My weekly rant. I'm ranting on Nate Boyer. You put my mean face on. Nate Boyer, you pissing me off, man. Nate Boyer is the ex-Green Beret who wrote an open letter to Kaepernick last year. And him and Kaepernick met up. And after that meeting up, Kaepernick decided that he would no longer take a seat, but he would start taking a knee because he didn't want the troops to feel like they were disrespected. Hey, man, this is not about the troops. This has nothing to do with the troops, the flag, the anthem, and none of these things. Well, I would say it has something to do with the anthem because he did use the anthem as nothing but the vehicle that he used to bring attention, right? But this has nothing to do with the troops, and I wish the troops and people like Nate Boyer would take their damn feelings out of what's going on, because to me, they're clearly showing that they do not care about black lives and the livelihood of black people in America. They're clearly showing that because they're getting their individual feelings caught up, and they're mad that Kaepernick's taking the knee to bring attention to the social injustices that black people face, the killings, the unjust killings that we face. So let me read you a little bit of this letter. Dear every single American, including President Trump, Colin Kaepernick, and my brothers in arms overseas who are wondering, what in the hell is going on back there? I'm sitting in the same chair in the same apartment that I was in almost a year ago when I wrote an open letter to Colin Kaepernick. I was hurt when I saw him sitting on the bench during the national anthem, but I am much more hurt now, not by him, but by where we are, but where we're at with the protests by us. Well, you shouldn't have wrote that letter to Kaepernick in the first place. You should have kept your feelings to yourself. And Kaepernick shouldn't have responded to you. Because from my understanding, Kaepernick did respond to him. Or Kaepernick noticed that the attention he was getting and reached out to him. Kaepernick shouldn't have done that in the first place. Nate Boyer, nobody cares how you feel. Nobody cares. Look, this is not about the troops. This is not about you guys' personal feelings and things. The lives of black people are very important. And I think those of you who are making it about yourselves, your service, you are showing explicitly that you care nothing about the lives of black people. And I will continue to say that. Simply put, okay, I'm continue reading. Simply put, it seems like we just hate each other. Really. And that is far more painful than any protest or demonstration or rally or tweet. We're told to pick a side. There's a line drawn in the sand. Are you with us or against us? It's just not who we are, or at least who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be better than Americans. This doesn't even seem to be about right or wrong, but more about right or left. Brother, what America have you been living on? When has America ever been about right? You're talking to people who have clearly only been free, really, or the illusion of free, about 50 years in this country, man. What are you talking about? Since the inception of the citizens on patrol, they have been slaughtered. Since the inception of the citizens on patrol, they have been slaughtering us. Not people, I don't see. But other people have. We the rights that we have, the voice of the home, and we know we've been unjustly killed by law enforcement officers, people who chose to be law enforcement officers, making choice to kill us. Today it feels, continue reading, they feel like this national divide isn't even really about the anthem or the flag or kneeling or sitting or fist in the air. It's not about President Donald Trump. It's not about Colin Kaepernick. It's not about the military or even police brutality. It feels like it's about winning. That's what makes America. That's what makes America so great. Our sheer competitiveness. We're winners, and we won't quit until the victory is ours. But what victory are we seeking, Nate? What victory are we, as Americans, seeking? Because I can guarantee you black America is seeking something totally different than what you are caping for, Nate Boyer. You are full of shit, Nate Boyer. You are. You, once again, cannot think about the plight of African Americans or black people in this country. We see it, continue reading. We see it in sports every day. We live and die by the outcomes of our teams. That desire to win at all costs is costing us greatly now among our neighbors. This winning mentality seems to have spilled over into an obsession with being right and not willing to admit that maybe, just maybe, we were wrong. We repeat mantras to ourselves like, no matter what, we will never ever surrender. Earlier this week, I sat down with a group of five combat arms and special operations veterans. The roundtable discussed our individual feelings on the flag, the anthem, and the players who knelt when it was played. We all had very different takes, but what surprised me most at the end of the discussion was that we all agreed on one thing. Colin Kaepernick and President Trump should be the ones uniting our Colin Kaepernick and President Trump should be the ones uniting our country together. Wait, what? I know it sounds crazy, but maybe that's exactly what we need to see. Maybe this is how we start to hear. Two men sit in the room and talk. Simple as that. First of all, Kaepernick's protest has nothing to do with Donald Trump. How about you, Nate Boyer, instead of putting the onus on somebody else to make this country better, how about you make this country better instead of writing them ragged-ass notes you keep making? How about that? How about put the onus on yourself as a so-called true American to make this country better, to make this country have more racial harmony? What are you doing on a regular basis to fight racial inequalities and fight white supremacy? See, Nate Boyer, you are full of shit. You're going to tell Donald Trump, and first of all, what Donald Trump is saying now has nothing to do with Kaepernick directly. What Kaepernick did has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Kaepernick took a stand against injustice that the black people in America, black men in America, were facing. Black men and women in America are facing at the hands of police because we're dying unjustly by the police. How is him and Donald Trump sitting down in the room making or even going to improve that? You're stupid, Nate. That was a dumbass statement, Nate. Continue reading. That's how it all started with Colin and I. Neither of us knew that kneeling would be the result of our conversation. Colin wanted to sit. I wanted him to stand. So we found a common ground on a knee alongside his teammates. See, Cap, that's where you went wrong. Sitting went in there with that room and that white boy in the first place. Who gives a damn if he has a problem with you sitting during the anthem? Who cares? We have a problem with us being killed. Nate Boyer don't give a shit. Why do you give a damn about his feelings? I believe that progress and real change happens in this world when you reach across the divide, you build a bridge, you swallow your pride, you open your mind, you embrace what you don't understand, and ultimately you surrender. Now, I don't pretend to speak for everyone who fought overseas. Many veterans rightfully disagree with my position. I do feel that I echo the sentiments of most warfighters when I say that what we hope for more than anything right now in America is unity. To deploy overseas, train, live, fight alongside, and ultimately defend foreigners that you have little in common with is truly a challenging task. But returning home to a country that is so divided, so judgmental, so full of one another is almost as difficult to deal with as burying a fallen comrade. In fact, we're still losing our brothers in arms overseas right now, and it's hardly mentioned in the media. But that's okay. We don't risk our lives. I ain't gonna read this bullshit no more. Because we're losing our brothers and sisters and our babies every day. And you don't care. You don't hear a mention of that. You don't care anything for you. So we don't give a damn about what you have to say about what we are doing to bring attention to what's going on with us. How we stand up for ourselves as our goddamn business. So fuck you and everybody else who got a problem with the way that we're taking the stand. We're going to stand the way we want to stand. If you got a problem with it, what you going to do about it? I'm going to leave that like that. Nate Boyer, you can kiss my ass. Nate Boyer, Donald Trump, and all the rest of you, Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys, everybody else who got a problem with us taking the stand against the injustices that we face, we don't give a shit. We're going to keep taking a stand. Call it what you want. Hey, I don't give a damn. Right? Because at some point, us as black people have stopped. We have to stop being so passive and stop being so nice. And we got to dig our heels in the sand. And we got to let them know that, hey, we didn't make this a us against you. Y'all made it that. Y'all made this a us against y'all. Y'all created that. So we're going to defend ourselves and we're going to thrive. And hey, remember, these are the conditions y'all create. It is what it is. We're going to do what we got to do for ourselves. And we don't care who got a problem with it. Hey, man, hey. Y'all know how we do it on The Fix. We keep it real. We keep it real. This is about the empowerment and the upliftment of our people. It's also about telling it how it is from our perspective, because we don't really hear that on a regular basis. Unadulterated, unfiltered. I can say what I want to say because I own the network. Me and my homie Patrick, we own the network. So say what we want to say. We're going to keep it real. We ain't just cursing just to curse. Yes, it's fun, but we need to get our points across, right? This is about us, man. It's about us having our voice and us using our voice supposed to be used. We got to tell the truth. And we got to stop sugarcoating and pussyfooting around. We got to tell the truth. And even in the sports realm, they try to fuck us over. Right? Let's try not to act like we don't know what's going on. And if you think you don't know, that's what I ask this. I'm going to put a spotlight on it. Hey, man. Remember to catch The Fix every Monday on the Freedom Train Network. All you got to do is visit www.freedomtrainradio.com. Where I'm getting it in, The Freedom Train, The Fix Sports Podcast, the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life. I am your host, Joseph Ward. Hey, I keeps it real, I keeps it groovy, and if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you, because you ain't going to stop this train. Yeah!
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever.